Big Brothers Big Sisters needs your help. There's a waiting list of more than 50 children hoping for a mentor. It's just a few hours a month. Be a mentor. Become a big. Visit Big Brothers Big Sisters Northeast Florida and click on Be a Big.
It's so hard for me to sit back here in this studio looking at a guy out here hollering my name.
Second in a yard, dropping his Minshew. Fires toward the end zone. That ball is going to be caught for the touchdown. Minshew to Chris Conley for the score.
You're talking to the Rolex wearing.
These games are like the most fun, you know. They suck for like 90% of it. Like, you feel like crap. But then you just keep grinding, find a way. You know, these guys, there's nobody I'd rather do it with than them.
Diamond ring wearing. Kiss stealing. Woo! Wheeling, dealing.
The show and Blaze are coming. Burner drops the throw. Fires to the right side. The ball is caught. Touchdown, Chris Conley. Touchdown, Jacksonville. And the Jags have taken the lead.
You know, one thing you got to say is that, you know, the guys were fighting their butts off, you know, kept fighting and had an opportunity. And that's what we kept talking about all week. Just give an opportunity at the end of the game. We had an opportunity. We wound up going down and winning the game.
Final play of the game. Final play in this stadium. Carr fires it toward the end zone. This is way up there. It's going to be a jump ball in the end zone. It is batted away, incomplete, and the Jags win it. The Jags have won for the first time in six games. They beat the Oakland Raiders 20-16.
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Woo!
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Tom McManus.
All right, we got the Rolex wearing, Henny spilling, Manuel Thalerand here with us.
And I'm having a hard time holding these Michael Jordans down.
I think ET's extra fired up today, Tony.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the tweet from Sean Barry out there, Garnet Jag 11. Who said, I'm sitting here with my fussy 3-day-old daughter.
Oh.
Using Jaguars Today to calm her down. She seems to like it when E.T. gets hyped.
Whoa! She's a sweet girl. Whoa!
So there you go.
That is great.
I think that set him off this morning.
Yeah, but I have a question. Why wouldn't you be drinking the Hennessy instead of spilling it?
Now, let's not spill it, man. Whoa!
No, keep drinking.
I'm drinking.
Lick it off the ground. Whatever you got to do.
He's so deep in Hennessy.
Don't waste the booze.
You know,
don't waste the booze.
He takes
man.
A bath in Hennessy. He's got so much extra Hennessy.
Yeah, I saw East tweet like 90 seconds before the open was going to run. He tweeted out about to play one of my favorite opens, and in my head, I was like, "We're about to get Ric Flair." Like I was like, I just knew it without
That's
him
great.
Saying a word about it, and he delivered.
I can't
As
wait to remake
does.
That open. I'm going to remake. Right. I can't wait.
Congrats to Sean and family for the 3-day-old daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, congrats to a sweet baby girl.
Maybe four. Well, that was sent 10 hours ago. So the 4-day-old baby daughter, if that's the case, send us a nice, cute little picture.
Yeah.
And when she's gurgling and googling and gaga, and make a little video, and we'll pretend
radio
she's saying Jaguars
radio
today.
Radio gaga.
All we need.
There you go.
That's all we need, Tom. Radio gugu, radio
gaga.
Radio gaga,
right?
You
that's
know?
Queen.
What are the best what are the best songs with radio in them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm asking, what are? Not. What about Mexican radio?
I was just thinking
Wall
that one.
Of Voodoo.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I don't
know what's so great about it. It's a catchy little jingle.
I'm on a Mexican
radio. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's it. That's like the whole, pretty much the whole gist of the song right there. So
I don't know any other words.
Radio Free Europe by R.E.M.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are plenty of them out there.
I'm sure there are. This brain just ain't working that quick just yet.
Tom McManus is here, ladies and gentlemen. Tony Smith is here. E.T., I'm Mike Dempsey. Good Friday to you. We're ever closer to all kinds of things. Cam Robinson.
I'll do it.
Get me every time. I don't care. Whatever. Go back to your Hennessy and leave me alone. All right. Cam Robinson apparently scrubbing his social media of all Jaguar references.
The cryptic messaging.
I don't know how cryptic that really is. I think that's pretty much
the underlying
signaling
messaging.
That I am done.
Smell you later.
Could be the case. It could be they told him that will be the case, that he won't be franchised, and they'll let him hit free agency, and you know, we'll see where it goes from there. And maybe you know, look, they could work on a contract extension with him if they wanted to keep him from free agency. And
that's right.
You get the sense that if, you know, he's doing that, he's probably been told he's not going to get franchised and he's not going to get a contract extension prior to the opening of free agency.
Right.
And if that's the case, likely not going to be back here.
Yeah, right.
In Jackson.
Right. Right. Or we're not going to pay you what you think.
Right. It could be that. It could be like, hey, what are you looking for? Oh, you're looking for that? Well, let's see what the market bears. And, you know, maybe we'll circle back if the market bears.
You got to feel pretty good about his replacement, though, I would imagine.
Who's that?
Whoever they're targeting, that they're going to get him. Whoever that is.
I mean, or they just might think that paying him, you know, franchise tag money or whatever he's seeking, it doesn't make sense based on his level of play.
Could be.
You know, it just might be as simple as that.
Yep.
And maybe they even, you know, I don't, you know, some people have interpreted it to mean Orlando Brown Jr. got to be close. It could be that, or
who
it
knows?
Could be just that they think, you know what, there are four or five guys out there that would not be much of a downgrade, if at all, from Cam, and we can get one cheaper.
I mean, we know things can go quick when it comes to trades in the NFL, but I mean, there were reports out yesterday that it was still pretty preliminary, any of the talks about Orlando Brown Jr. across the league. Like, it doesn't feel like that's the direction this is going
Williams
to be.
I want before him, but I would
– well, absolutely.
You
can't figure that out.
You got to wait a week to even talk to
him. How about the tackle from Carolina that they just
put
out?
Right.
He's a right tackle. No, we don't need that.
No.
But, you know, look, with 25th and 33rd pick, those are eight picks between them. You know, you're going to – I think you're going to maybe find somebody in that – those two in that area, right?
Maybe.
There's some good old linemen out there.
There are some. But, again, that's – you know, then you're counting on one that you feel can start right away on the blind side.
Totally.
Being available there. You know, how many of those are even in the draft that you feel that good about, you know?
Right.
So, it's you know, this is something we've batted around now for well over a month on how they're going to handle that position, and we figured that's likely the only new starting position on the offensive line that will open up
because they weren't going to blow it up, right? It was
he said it's not a blow up situation, which could mean a lot of things, right? And people have interpreted that, including us, to mean, well, they'll probably stick with four out of the five guys who are under contract right now. You can save $9 million by releasing Andrew Norwell, but right now, you don't need that cap space. You have the most cap space in the league. It's not like that's preventing you from signing anybody. But a report or a rumor passed along by Jason LaCanfora yesterday, and I know he's not held in high regard by a lot of Jaguar fans, but nevertheless, he said that he's hearing that the Jags are shopping Andrew Norwell around the league, and right now there are no takers.
Wow.
You know, well, he's due to make $15 million.
Sure.
Is he a $15 million a year guard? No. So if he's not, and again, you can afford to pay him that.
Yeah.
You can afford to pay him 20. That doesn't mean you want to, right?
Yeah, right, so, and does it warrant the value? You know, is his play worth that contract?
May not be, but then the question is, what can you replace him for?
True.
You know, and you're going to – if you were to release Andrew Norwell or trade him, you'd have a $6 million dead cap hit.
Yeah.
So you'd save $9 million in cap space.
Yep.
But you'd save $15 million in cash. You know, I don't know if that's – they're concerned. You know, I don't know how front offices think in terms of that. Like, the owner is probably like, well, it's still $6 million, you know, even though it's not available to you. And you're saving $15 million overall.
Right.
But if you could turn around and take that $15 million that you were going to pay Andrew Norwell and go after Brandon Scherff of Washington, who would be an upgrade,
totally,
you would think.
Yeah.
And he made $15 million last year.
Yeah.
So he might be looking for
even more
north of that. Don't know.
No, but he's one of the top guards for sure.
But let's say, I mean, that's what we thought of Norwell, too, coming out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to ask you guys this because I don't know the answer. What kind of offense is Urban's offense going to be? You know, what do we, because, you know, there are two different kinds of linemen. There's the maulers, you're just going to, you know, pound and then do play action. There's the zone blockers who are a little bit smaller, a little bit more athletic. You know what I mean? So what, I always felt like maybe Norwell didn't fit. He fit up in Carolina in their offense, but he wasn't necessarily a road grader. You know, and a road grader is what? I'm going to take that guy in front of me. I'm going to move him one way or the other. I may get some help on a double team, but at the end of the day, I'm big enough and strong enough and powerful enough to move that guy enough to give my guy a crease. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you got to have the right line people to be on your offensive line and run that offense, you know, block for that kind of offense.
Well, it's interesting, too, because they kept George Warhop, who's the offensive line coach. So, you know.
So similar style.
Well, or Maybe, or is he telling them, look, if you want to do this, these guys are not the best fit for that.
Could be
as
well.
That too.
So that's right. That's right.
I mean, we're just guessing at that now because Urban's not going to say a word about
all
that.
All I'm saying is linemen do fit into the scheme. You know, some don't fit in other schemes. They just, that's not their skill set, you know, but it depends what kind of offense that you're going to be running.
The question of the day, to go along with this, if the Jaguars, it's kind of a two-parter. If the Jags decided to trade guard Andrew Norwell, what do you think would be a fair return? And again, if you believe the rumor that he's being shopped around, nobody's offering anything right now. So a fair return, you know, I've heard people say nothing for less than, wouldn't trade him for less than a third. Well, you're not going to get close to that, especially if you've got to take on $15 million a year.
Yeah.
If right now, but that's okay. We're asking you what it would take for you to move him. And if that's the price, that's the price. And then barring a trade, do you think it would be worth it to release him to save $9 million in cap space? Again, if you told me I could turn around, add nine, now I'm at $90 million in cap space, and I could go give 17 of that to Brandon Scherff, to come in here and upgrade the position,
that's the key.
That's a different story.
That's the key with Cam and him. You got to upgrade both of them.
And
if
here's
you let
the
them
thing,
roll.
Tom. I mean, it's not the best for Andrew Norwell if it plays out this way. What if you're the Jags and you just go, let's wait the free agency and go call Brandon Scherff's representative and see if he's interested in taking this big old pile of money? And if he is, Andrew Norwell, here's your release.
Right.
You know, and obviously those guys like to get a head start on free agency and all this stuff, and that's great. But I'm fine with the Jaguars doing whatever they think is in their best interest. It's $6 million. Well, it's 15 now.
Right.
But
if they've released them.
$6 million in dead money, but you'd pick up $9 million in cap space.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, it wouldn't be enough to pay a guy like Scherff.
No.
But
gives you more.
It'd be a move, and then. So if you ate up $6 million off the cap space you have right now for an upgrade at the position.
Got to upgrade both.
That's
them.
The thing.
You got to.
You know, how many guards are going to upgrade Andrew Norwell? I don't know. And all these things have to factor in. And what if the guy is the same level player and you can get him for $10 million? You know, or what if he is slightly less and you can get him for $5 million? All these things have to factor in.
Absolutely.
In the bottom line. So those are the questions of the day out there. You can hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Meathead55, at IME to the T.
Ooh.
641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. We've got a new mock draft out by Todd McShay. We'll take a peek at that. I saw another three-round mock at CBS that came out yesterday afternoon, so we'll take a little gander on what they have the Jaguars doing with those first five selections. That's what's so fun about these multi-round mocks right now. The Jags just have all these picks.
Oh, yeah, they do.
You scroll down, and you're just like, oh, I only have to go to the first pick of round three, and I can stop right there.
That's right.
And see all five of those selections. So we'll get into that today as well. And anything else you'd like to talk about Jaguar-related, again, 641-1010, the easiest way to do it. With Tony Smith, Tom McManus, and E.T., I'm Mike Dempsey. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jags, Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Hey, cue every NFL-related person on Twitter acting like they're the first ones to realize that Alex Smith once played for Urban Meyer. Because it's too
late. Wow, no way.
That yesterday, that's all it was. Oh, you know what? I don't know if anyone's thought of this.
reunite him.
Alex Smith might be a good backup choice behind Trevor Lawrence to help teach him. And
what?
He did play for Urban Meyer.
Really?
That is, we should have been talking about this, Tony. We should have been talking about this for weeks and weeks and weeks on end. About the possibility of Alex Smith coming to Jacksonville. How did I not know this? Alex Smith is now a free agent.
Yeah.
He was released today by the Washington football
team. I'd be
kind
of surprised if that happened, wouldn't you? Depending on the money.
From what standpoint?
He wants to start, I would imagine, and B, I think he would want more money than a backup.
Yeah, it feels like he at least wants to go to somewhere where
a shot at it.
He would eventually maybe have a chance to start.
Yeah. How many of those places are there for Alex Smith at this stage? Granted, he had that chance in Washington.
Detroit?
Jared Goff.
Goff, yeah.
Chicago
at the moment, but is he better than Nick Foles? Nick Foles under contract. Like, people act like he's not on that team.
So, I read we're nagging him more together at KC, right?
Yes, that would would make sense. Yeah. Sure.
So they get along.
I mean, look, that's a possibility. I'm not saying there are no possibilities. I'm not saying.
No,
What I'm saying is I don't think there's.
It's not going to be a huge market for Alex Smith to be a starting quarterback
somewhere, or even compete. You know, especially when you hear Washington last year, it was just like, oh, God. We have to have this guy on the roster here. You know, and Alex Smith himself said they didn't want me here.
Right.
You know, and I get that, honestly. You're coming back from catastrophic injury. They're like, how's he really going to help us?
Yep.
Got to eat up a bunch of cap space. They saved $14.9 million today by moving on from Alex Smith.
How about Miami? Battle it out with Tua?
Come on. They can't. No way. They could.
I mean, are they sold on Tua?
I'm not saying they are, but I think, like, if I were Miami, and I wasn't sold on Tua, I got to get Tua this year at least. If I can't get some kind of package deal for Deshaun Watson, which is what I'm still trying to do if I'm Miami.
Yeah, right. Hell yeah.
And send Tua and a couple of first-round picks. And thank you very much.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Miami feels – I mean, I guess if you get to a point where they're struggling – Tua went 6-3 last year as a starter. Yeah. So it's not like he was
terrible.
He just didn't – You know, when you compare it to how Burrow and Herbert played, he was going out there throwing for 150 yards and things like that and not throwing the ball more than 10 yards down the field, or at least that's the way it felt when you watched Miami play with Tua at quarterback last year.
But they won.
They won, true. Right? But
and he was going into a year two, and I've heard people talking about this more recently than right as the season ended. There were a lot of people that thought it would basically be a redshirt year for Tua.
Yeah.
In Miami, even as high as they took him.
Because of the injury?
Because of the injury. Yeah. Like the hip injury. Yeah. Is he going to be ready to play early in the season?
Time.
And look, by halfway through the year, he had won the starting job in Miami.
Yeah.
Won the starting job in Miami. Well, I don't know how those guys felt about it. But certainly Fitzpatrick wasn't thrilled when they made the decision to move to Tua. But you knew it was coming eventually. And he found a way in a year that a lot of people thought was going to be a redshirt year to go 6-3.
Yeah.
You know, miserable.
No,
but
it's not.
He didn't look great. You know, there's no arguing that he didn't look great. They found ways to win in games that he started, but not because of him. Like, the defense played really, really well.
Yeah, they did. They did. You know, you got to give the rook another year, you know?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Started for it. It's not like Rosen where, and then you go.
Oh, sure.
Right. But so, he did show some promise, I guess.
Yeah, so if you're looking for a path to getting on the field, maybe it's, if you're Alex Smith, maybe it's the NFC East. And it's Danny Dimes is going to get one more chance to roll it out there. But if he struggles, how quick of a hook might they have with him?
True.
If they had a competent backup, I don't know. Philadelphia, who knows what they're going to do? They could draft the guy. But right now, the plan is Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
You know, that might be a path, but you'd have to wait for the draft to play out to know if that was actually – any kind of path to play him. We mentioned
and what's
Chicago.
Philly's, unless that division it can be won with like six wins again, you know, what is their impetus to play Alex Smith at this stage?
Oh, I hear you.
Or at least exhaust the possibility whether or not Jalen Hurts can be a starter. And Jalen Hurts was exciting at times. He also completed less than 52% of his passes last year.
And it was only a few games.
The point being, Alex Smith can't walk into I don't even know, maybe Chicago right now, but there's a lot that still could play out with the draft and free agency and trades. But, you know, at best, maybe he's 50-50 on an even footing with Foles there.
Yeah.
Something like that.
He's got to compete. I'm not saying he don't have the open arms for my starter.
I mean, personally, I don't care what Alex Smith wants. It's all for the greater glory of the Jacksonville Jaguars that he should accept his fate and come in here for
$3
million.
And relive the Utah days, right?
Yes. And we'll keep Gardner as well, unless you saw the reports yesterday, at least the speculation. You know, maybe the Patriots, from this angle, maybe the Patriots could get Minshew for a third or fourth round pick. Excuse me, did you say third round pick?
Could?
Then you got to get you got to be cool, Tony. You got to be cool.
That's
You can't go, okay. You got to be like, I don't know, third round pick. He's very cheap. He's got some experience.
Let me think about it.
Okay, all right. We'll do you a solid this time. But
how about a 3 and a 6, and we'll send you a 7?
There you go. Just like that.
Now late, you're talking, Tom.
Upgrade. Then we get back in the 6th round. We were talking about that on a break. The Jags have made some curious, those little tiny deals during the year. Kamale Correa, about the lowest trade value you can give up is giving up a 6th rounder and getting a 7th rounder back.
Yes.
Right? Unless you already know where your position is and you're only moving up in the same round. But and they could have probably done that last year as well. But this is a high 6th to kind of a mid to low 7th with Tennessee for Kamale Correa. Made such an impact here on the roster.
No, I know. You know, it's funny. When you watch him with Tennessee before he got here, he made some plays. I mean, he wasn't like – you'd notice him.
I think you got to be skeptical anytime your division rival is willing to send you
dump your guy. Yeah, that's – well, but look at – we talked about the running back. We dumped him to Houston, or he went to Houston and had 1,000
yards. Right, but Houston didn't give us anything for him.
No, they just signed him.
Right.
Right, they get that's another one though. They gave up whatever they gave up a 5th rounder for Carlos Hyde.
Never used him
and hardly used him at all. Yeah. Gave up a 5th rounder for Joshua Dobbs and didn't protect. It wasn't good enough to protect on the active roster.
Right,
and then you lose him for nothing. And you know, nice guy, good story. He went to NASA this offseason, guys. Great. Okay.
Did he really?
He's like an aerospace major or something like that. Right. So he did like an internship or something down there.
Wow.
Which is cool.
Yeah. No, it's very nice. Human interest story.
Yeah. Correa, when it's a division rival that is really trying to figure out their pass rush and is willing to trade you one of their pass rushers.
Yeah. But they brought in two, didn't they, up there?
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, but like, it was already into the season.
Like, watch this.
Yeah.
Watch this.
We're
Maybe do us a favor. Maybe
like
it's an
Vic
under
Beasley,
the
they were already having the issues with Beasley by the time they were trading Correa. Like, they knew what the deal was at that point with him, and they were still like, yeah, we'll trade him.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in a tough spot. You try to do things to make a move, but like last year, like, what was the point of giving up anything for anybody at any point last year that wasn't – assured of being a part of your future.
Not with everything else they had done.
Crazy. I mean, like, I get it. Even like, you lose Nick Foles. You don't know how long he's going to be gone. All right, we need another quarterback in the room. We're going to make this move. I get why they did the Joshua Dobbs thing. You know, you had to get a quarterback. Either that or it's go to the street and who's available as a quarterback as a street free agent in the season. Yep. Probably not very good players.
No, right. Yeah.
But the Correa thing didn't make sense. And the Hyde thing would have made sense if they would have used him.
Yeah,
if they would have utilized him. It just
2018 was a disaster. Like, after that first month, it was just
that, like, it's so much different than most of the other last 12
well,
years.
Well, sure, but at least, like, last year, the expectations were very low, you know, for the football team. Like, I can remember when we were doing our picks for the season, and I think I had them winning 5 games, and I felt like I was really bullish. I think that they were going to win 5, right? Like, it was that kind of year. 2018, we were talking about them being a Super Bowl contender.
They should have been.
Well, they should have been. After coming off 2017, they should have.
Yeah, like I said, disaster.
They blew it up.
I know.
They imploded.
I know, but, you know, just different degrees of disaster is all it is.
Yeah, basically.
Different kinds of disaster.
They were on a good
path. Unnatural. They had them all. And if there was a disaster to be had, the Jags have had it.
No doubt.
Pretty much.
No doubt.
In the last few years. But now, no, not anymore.
No, it's a new rising.
It's going to be
the
perfect.
Phoenix is coming out of the ground.
Phoenix will rise. I like it. That's good.
He's coming on fire.
The whole organization.
Light him up.
Tom McManus says the Jaguars are moving to Phoenix. No, he didn't. Stop it. All right. Let's go back.
They're trading the number one pick to the Phoenix card.
I've got mock draft a palooza on for you today. I got a 3-round mock at CBS. I got McShay's latest offering out there. He's got the 4 quarterbacks, bam, 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 right at the top of the draft. Mac Jones not among them. Oh. First 4 picks.
First 4. He's got him at number 9?
Yeah. He would be the 5th quarterback off the board in that scenario.
Wow.
The record is 5 in the first 12 picks. Never had the first 4 picks be quarterbacks before. So it doesn't mean it's going to happen either.
Yeah.
But that's where he is projecting things. So we'll get into that. Coming up next, if you want to get in, 641-1010 is a good way to do it. The question of the day has to do with Andrew Norwell. Should the Jags look to move him? If so, for what? And if not, should they release him for the cap space? You can hit us up on Twitter with your responses to that as well. Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I think he just gives you a sense of peace when he's like at the quarterback position. He's like, all right, well, I know Trev's going to be ready. I know he's like, even if something happens, like, he's going to bounce back. So, yeah, Ford's the word that when it's time, when it's crunch time, when it's go time, like, obviously, that we lost some games. We didn't lose many. And so when it was time to go, man, I trust him, like, with the ball in his hand. I think we all did.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
That was Clemson running back Darian Wrencher on the TrevorCast Episode 2 that came out yesterday. It's available at 1010XL.com, talking about how you just trust Trevor Lawrence in those big moments, in those clutch moments, gives you a sense of calm, a sense of peace that he's got it. He's going to come through. He's going to know how to handle himself. And, I would hope so.
Yeah.
We're talking about him as being the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck. I would hope he checks pretty much every box. Right? But it's nice to hear.
Yeah, it is nice to hear. Listen to the TrevorCast yesterday when I got home. And I thought it was interesting, too, because Matt and Hayes did ask him about, have they talked about, you know, where Trevor's going to wind up in the NFL, basically. Like, is Jacksonville looks like where he's going to wind up? Have they talked about the fit for him in Jacksonville? We played the clip with him being not so much a big city guy, not a farm guy either, but that this city would seem to fit that aspect of Trevor Lawrence, but also went into the idea of Trevor liking Jacksonville. Like, they've had the discussions, and basically he was like, yeah, he's cool with it. Like, and that he and his best friend have had the discussion about Jacksonville, and Trevor coming out of it going, yeah, sounds good to me. You know, like, he knows it's going to be a challenge, like all those kind of things. But I thought that was a really cool aspect of that conversation.
Yeah, as long as he signs the deal, man, he can do it grudgingly if I care.
That's right.
Just sign.
Yep.
Sign the papers and keep taking our money. Keep taking our money for
heck
the next 15 years or
well,
so.
Well, listen, you know, speaking for a lot of former players that live here. You know,
oh, yeah.
Love it.
I mean, like,
love it.
What's not to like about
no doubt
the lifestyle?
Everything.
Well, I mean, look, I'm not a 21-year-old guy anymore. You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
You know, even when I was 21, like, this is a great lifestyle. I love this. Like, I never never needed South Beach or anything. It's a nice place to visit.
Listen, go to the Lemon Bar. You'll be fine. Go to the corner. go to St.
Corner.
Augustine.
Yeah.
Go to Five Points. I mean, there's places all over the city that you can go to and have just as good a time as anywhere else.
Yeah, if Trevor finds St. Augustine, I'll never leave. Suck me in. Suck me in.
I love St. Augustine. St. Augustine's cool. Yeah.
And I will never escape, nor do I want to.
No.
For that matter.
Why would you?
I might, you know, redo the house a little bit if I hit the Powerball.
But yeah.
Honestly, I'd be fine living right where I am.
You're living the Powerball life, man.
I am, brother. I mean, knock on wood. I just... You know what? I'm living the Powerball life on a budget. Let's put it that way.
Whatever.
You know, I'd like to try it without the budget, but that's fine. Who wouldn't? Right? All right. Let's look at some mock drafts because that's what we do in part around these parts.
Yeah, man.
We look at a bunch of prognostications that will have no chance of coming completely true in less than 2 months from now, and we'll never look at them again except to mock the mockers if we don't like the way things worked out. Just being honest. All right, Todd McShay at ESPN says, I might start beginning my mock drafts with the second pick. That's all you need to hear.
Yep.
Or Todd's still on the good list, and we can move on to the next one. And then they have the team correspondents weigh in on the pick. So Mike DiRocco says, this would be a terrible decision. No, I'm kidding, D-Rock. He says, Lawrence would start out of the gate, even if the Jaguars do sign Alex Smith, which seems to be the trendy rumor considering his time with Meyer at Utah. Play the kid and start the rebuild, as D-Rock channels Pete Prisco with the play the kid. Play the kid, play the kid, play the kid. So there you go. Trevor Lawrence to the Jags. Four quarterbacks in the first four picks off the board in this mock. He's got Zach Wilson going to the New York Jets, which if the Jets do take a quarterback and don't decide to stick with Sam Darnold, like I told Tony, Jets will make the wrong decision. I don't know what that decision is. I don't know what the wrong one is, Tony. Zach Wilson may be great. He may stink. I don't know. They will make the wrong one.
Yep.
Carolina then makes a trade moving up to number three, where Miami sits right now with Houston's pick.
Yep.
And this is the first time, I think, is this first time for McShay to do trades as well?
No, he's been doing them.
Has he? Okay. He's got a couple.
He's only done it for a couple of years, I think.
Okay.
But, yeah, he's been
Kiper
doing
it.
Yeah, Kiper finally gave
in. Acquiesced, yeah.
And that was only so that he could get Kyle Pitts to the Jets. Like, I've heard him talk about it. Like, he put a trade in there. He was like, I think they should stick with Sam Darnold, trade out of it, and still get Kyle Pitts. Like, that's what he wants to see the Jets do.
Well, he's got Miami picking up, what is it, I thought he had the details in here a moment ago. Here we go. It would be the number 8 pick, the second rounder, which is number 39, and a 2022 first rounder just to move down to 8.
Mm. Wow.
Pretty good if you're Miami and if you're
not in the quarterback.
Right. If you're not taking a QB and you're okay with Tua,
get
an extra second rounder this year, an extra first rounder next year. That's
done.
Fantastic. Still pick 8th. Yeah.
And still pick 8th, right.
Yeah. And Carolina takes Justin Fields in this scenario.
Wow.
Falcons stick and take Trey Lance.
Wow.
Out of North Dakota State.
Wow.
With that.
That would be interesting. He's a project. I mean, I obviously, what's Ryan's deal? Has he got a year left, or is he on a contract for a while?
He's I'm under not contract sure how much. 2023.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He seems to think that he's still good to go. Like, Matt Ryan doesn't think he's at the end of it yet.
Right.
So, Atlanta and Trey Lance, like, in that kind of circumstance, Trey Lance may make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Like, if you have an eye on the future of the quarterback position, you may be able to give him 2 years to learn behind Matt Ryan.
It makes the most sense to take him where he certainly doesn't have to play this year.
Yep.
Yeah. No doubt.
And physically, he's sick.
Oh, D-Rock weighs in on this one, too, because he's wearing two hats right now. he is doing Atlanta
as
well for
ESPN. Cool.
Has been for a few months. I said Lance would sit and learn behind Ryan, maybe even for at least part of the next season. Ryan's still playing at a high level. His contract makes it hard for the Falcons to move at least this year. So, all right, we'll roll through these. And these are becoming more and more familiar names to everybody because we see a lot of these mocks. Penei Sewell, the tackle, going to the Bengals. Kyle Pitts then going to the Eagles, which from a fantasy standpoint, I don't need him sharing anything with Dallas Goedert. Why can't we have two nice things instead of two three-quarter nice things on the same team? Jamar Chase going to the Detroit Lions. They would love that. Mm. Oh, my gosh, man. I mean, right now, Tyrell Williams, top wide receiver on that depth chart. Devontae Smith then going to Miami to repair with Tua.
Wow.
So, re-hook up with Tua. And
they take him instead of Waddle because Waddle prefers Mac Jones over –
Tua. Right, they asked Waddle, which one, who do you like? He's like, I mean, you know, it's, I don't know, what's he supposed to say in that? You know,
yeah, right.
He gave an answer. Like, we'd kill him if he was wishy-washy, and he gives an answer, and he's like, yeah, Mac Jones.
Yeah.
All right, then we'll take Devontae. Mac Jones goes to the 49ers with the 9th pick in this mock.
So wow.
5 quarterbacks, which is fantastic. Look, I expect there's been so much talk about this, it would be almost a shock at this point if all those quarterbacks were not off the board before the Jaguars' 2nd pick, right? So you're counting on that. So out of – you've got 24 picks before that 2nd pick, including your own of Trevor Lawrence, right? So you got 23 picks. Now, if 4 of those are quarterbacks, that's fantastic for you.
Right.
Hey, Kyle Trask, anybody? Can I get anybody interested in Kyle Trask?
Yeah.
I mean, the more that go, the better.
Yeah, no, Kellen Mond.
I guess, right. Kellen, it depends on if you've got Chris Sims in your front office.
Yeah.
Pat Surtain out of Alabama going to the Cowboys. Jalen Waddle here goes to the Giants, who just released Golden Tate yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Broncos, this is a the Niners had traded up with Denver in this scenario and did that to get their quarterback in Mac Jones, which, man, you wonder. You want to talk about a team that can save some cap space. They could save over $20 million by releasing Garoppolo.
Oh, really?
The cap hit's only like $2 million
if
he's not on the roster, which has got to be a consideration the way they're talking this offseason. So Denver moves down, takes Caleb Farley, the corner out of Virginia Tech. Rashawn Slater, next offensive lineman, goes to the Chargers. They're losing a lot of guys in free agency on that O-line.
Yep.
Quiddy Pay, the Michigan pass rusher, goes to Minnesota. Micah Parsons, who you often see mocked in the top 10, falls here to New England. That's a pretty good value, it seems. J.C. Horn, the South Carolina corner. We've seen him mocked a few times to the Jags.
Yep.
Going to the Cardinals. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, the Notre Dame linebacker, to the Raiders. Elijah Vera Tucker, the USC guard, to Miami. Kadarius Toney, you see this frequently, paired up with Washington or Chicago. Here he goes to Washington.
I read somewhere that the kid from USC, they think can play – every position except center.
Vera Tucker.
Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
I've heard their mixed opinions on whether he'll be have to move inside, right,
or stay outside.
Christian Darrisaw, the next best offensive tackle,
oh,
maybe after
Tech, right? Virginia Tech.
Yep.
Yeah,
he goes 20th beast. To the Bears here. Gregory Good Rousseau pick. To the Colts, the pass rusher, and Jalen Phillips. You see this so often. These guys go back-to-back, right, in these mock drafts. I think
maybe they're clones.
I think people are having a hard time deciding which one's going to go first, and they feel like if we put them back-to-back, and very close to the order. Yeah. Azeez Ojulari to the Jets out of Georgia, Najee Harris to the Steelers, and then the Jaguars taking Trevon Moehrig, the safety out of TCU. Said D-Rock, Jared Wilson. Started 28 games of free safety over the past two seasons. Been steady, but the Jaguars need playmakers. Josh Jones, a pending free agent as well. Moehrig might not be a starter immediately, but it would be a surprise if he didn't finish the season as one.
Yeah.
I would hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Taking him 25th overall. It's not like this secondary is loaded with all-star performers.
I just will say that obviously you got to go best player available, whoever that is at that point, I would think, but man, I really hope we've got a left tackle that's better than Cam.
That's the thing. These mocks will change so drastically.
I know.
They really will.
I mean, the free agent safety class is somewhat deep.
It is.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's where you feel like, man, if I get to spend maybe $10 million here.
And a veteran.
Save a first round draft pick for another position. Interestingly, Travis Etienne to the Bills, they keep. According to this, trying to fix that running back situation they've drafted.
He is. I like that kid, man. He's got take it to the house at any moment.
Oh, he does. Yeah. Three-round mock at CBS Sports by Josh Edwards. I won't go through all the picks like we just did with McShay. He's got Trevor Lawrence to the Jaguars, so we continue on. Let me scroll on down here. This is loading kind of funky on the old iPad. He's got Christian Barmore, which is probably the – as much as there can be a consensus pick at the 25th, he's probably the most frequently mocked guy.
Yeah.
Alabama defensive lineman. Yeah, in the second round, Dylan Raddunz, the offensive tackle who did well at the Senior Bowl out of North Dakota State. But again, here's a guy. All right, you're going to bring him in. Fine. Here's your left tackle of the future. You ain't my left tackle day one, I hope. Right?
Yeah.
You're bringing a guy from North Dakota State who didn't play this year.
Right. That's risky.
It's risky. Yep. It is risky.
Yep.
Jags take Elijah Moore. Had somebody who's an Ole Miss fan tweet at me the other day. You guys don't talk enough about Elijah Moore on this program. He said, I'm probably being biased. Maybe you are, but here you go. Elijah Moore, 86 catches for nearly 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns last year, and he did it in 8 games. And 3 games, how about this, Tom, over 225 receiving yards last year. So definitely explosive.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen him in a lot of second rounds of mocks. This may be the first time I've seen him mock to the Jags. Maybe not. I can't recall off the top of my head for sure. But nevertheless, that's who they would be taking in round two. And then in round three, Javon Holland, who one or two people mentioned yesterday as a guy that they'd like to see the Jaguars take, Tony, that they expected to be available after round one. He's a defensive back out of Oregon. So. Mm. There you go.
Yeah, we know they're going to need help in the secondary.
Oh, yeah.
Falcons in this one at 3 picks later take Michael Carter. He really, I don't necessarily want him to spend a first 3-round pick on a running back, but he just seems like such a good complementary fit for the style of running back that he is compared to James Robinson. Don't get me wrong. I think there are better running backs in the draft, but you're going to have to pay more for those guys as well. Javonte Williams, his teammate going in the second round of this mock. As well. ETN was available to the Jags in the second round in this one. So, anyway, just a couple more.
Yeah.
Schools of thought out
getting
there.
Getting closer, man.
I love it.
Yeah, me too.
There's
me
so
too.
Many of them out there now. Like, CBS really pretty much puts out a new mock every day.
Pretty much.
Right? I mean, and some of them, probably about half of them are 3-round mocks, which is great. Yeah. But they've got 3 or 4 guys that are doing them and at least every week, each one is putting
I'm
out
sure
a
you
one.
Told you probably talked ad nauseum, but who's the guy in Dallas that normally gets the drafts?
He hasn't done it. Rick
Gosling?
Gosling.
Gosling.
Yeah. Rick Gosling.
Yeah, thank you.
He hasn't done it.
He doesn't do it anymore. Maybe, he used to be pretty close. He
did 3 mocks. He did one based on he didn't even look at team needs. He just based on basically best players.
Yep.
Then he looked at one that was just based on team needs where he would, and then And he tell you, because I had him on before during that era, and he'd be like, yeah, those first, you know, the first two, that's what they are. They are what they are. And then he'd do one on the day of the first round.
Right. Yep. Right.
And it was generally considered the gold standard of mock drafts.
You'd want it printed out and in hand when you went to the draft party.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you feel like that's if anybody had the best the best scoopage, it was that
guy.
It
was him, yeah.
And he put it all together on the last day. And then I don't know why. It seemed like that was what he was known for.
Well, who today do we trust the most that throws out the mocks?
I mean, it depends. You know, at this stage, I don't trust any of them. Because I really don't, because I think they all have to, you know, they're all trying different things. Well, you know, last time I saw what it would look like if I had the Jets take Zach Wilson. This time I'm going to see what does it look like if the Jets trade down a few spots take Justin Fields or what. And so, and I get it. People want – if it's the same thing every single time, you stop going back. It's like, all I'm going to see is the same thing.
Yep.
So, you know, if the Jags didn't have a second first-round pick, I don't know if I'd look at any. Well, I'd still look at them. Yeah. But I wouldn't feel like – I see a new mock come out now immediately. Let me click on that and go right down to 25 and see what the Jags are doing with that second pick.
You know, and then 33, I mean, that's almost – that's like a first-round pick.
And it's such a great – really to be able to sit there on Thursday night going into Friday when everyone reshuffles their board and goes, oh, man, we got a top 15 player on our board still left.
Or we do.
Right. Either you can get a guy that you're like has no business being there, or you can move back maybe a couple of times. You know, you move back two spots, move back again.
Yeah.
But you can move back, pick up maybe, who knows, a second round pick next year.
Yeah.
You know, for a small move
for
a team that feels like I've got to have that player, whoever that player is.
Yeah. Those second rounders normally turn out to be pretty good football players.
Second, and you're also in position, like, if you love the guy, and more often you do this with a quarterback, but if you're the Jaguars or any other team for that matter, if you love a guy and you want to make sure you have that fifth-year option available, you don't have to pay a whole lot to go from 33 into the late first round.
Right.
And then you pick up an extra year on the rookie contract.
Right.
You know, so they're all kind of, it gives you such power.
It's a good spot.
You know, it's why it was so helpful that the Jets won – the second game that they did. Because as it turned out, the Jags went 1-15. They would have had the first pick either way in the tiebreaker if the Jets had gone 1-15.
Yep.
But they would have flip-flopped every other round as to who had the first pick.
Right.
And it's not only that, but it's then the top of round four. Because you do the same thing going into Saturday. After the first three rounds, you're sitting at the top of the draft.
Right.
Here's what's left.
What if you took, hypothetically, 25-33, how high could you get? In the first round, if you said, you know, we got to get this guy, whoever that guy is, how high do you think you get with those two? That's your package.
Maybe I could see, depending on the team and their motivation and 15? What they're trying to do, maybe even higher. Maybe I don't think you'd get into the top 10. Maybe right around 10. Because I'm trying to think when Kansas City traded up for Mahomes, I believe they gave their late first rounder and the next year's first. Well, what's more valuable, next year's first for a team that you think is going to be good or the 33rd pick this year?
Right?
Yeah. I think they're
depending
at least
on where they're at,
even.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean, because you get bird in hand, you get an extra year out of that player.
Yep.
And so maybe.
Man, I didn't think you'd get that high, but that would
be I don't know if you would. I don't
12
know.
12 even. I mean, 15. I mean, to get
do you
the
have
guy.
The, can you, do you have the Mahomes deal, Tony?
I'm getting there, yeah.
Yeah.
To get your guy, if he is your guy. I mean, that's what's nice about it. Look, would it be great if you just say you – maybe, you know, you got offers to trade back a tiny bit. You still got your guy, and then you got more draft capital or a player. Yeah, that'd be great. Or you sit there. You don't have to move at all. You know, the guy just falls to you, and he's your guy, and you got him. You know what I mean? But you also got the opportunity maybe package and move up if you want to do that.
They traded their first and third that year and their first the next
year.
Wow. Okay, so they did add – there was a third rounder involved as well. And that got him to number 10, though.
From where? 27?
From 27. So you're going for 25, but if you're not including a third-round pick, and in this scenario you're not, maybe it gets you to 13, something like that, in that ballpark.
Never know who falls.
Kyle Pitts.
You never know who falls. Someone's going to fall.
And that becomes, though, what if you've signed Hunter Henry? You know, I mean, there's so many people. You just don't know how it's going to go.
Oh, yeah. Free agency you'll get here, and these guys will just tear up all these mock drafts and be like, useless.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right. I mean, but, and if you do go out and spend $10 million plus a year on Hunter Henry, you're not making a bold move up to go
to
Kyle
not to
Pitts.
Get pitched, no.
Not in my opinion. I mean,
although he could play wide receiver.
He could, but in that case, like, is Kyle Pitts worth the receiver you could get at 33 plus the starter you can get at 25? Like, you're going to get a pretty good receiver at 33, I think.
Yeah.
You know, not the same exact type. But
depends on your eval of Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, it does.
Like, if you think he really is legitimately the second best player in this draft, then,
if you think that. Yeah.
And you got the best.
What's that?
You already got the best one in your pocket.
Right. And you may feel that way, but I think if enough teams actually feel that Kyle Pitts is that,
not getting anywhere near
you. Not sliding into the teens.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He's going to go. Yeah, he's top 10, I bet.
I got to believe.
Yeah, he's too.
He's such a difference maker.
And is he doing pro day?
Whenever Florida does it, I assume.
Because if he goes out there and runs, they're going to be like,
oh. If he puts a good 40 up there, yeah.
Yeah, his size, you kidding me? I mean, they'll think Metcalf. That's what they'll think. They'll be like, look, he's Metcalf, right? Let's maybe even a little bit bigger than him.
All right, let's come back with this Dayton football, the gems from around the National Football League. You want to weigh in on whether or not the Jaguars should consider moving on from Andrew Norwell? You can do that as our question of the day. It's out there on Twitter. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, it's March the 5th, and we look back to 1964. It was on this date that the NFL teams collectively purchased Blair Motion Pictures. What?
Whoa.
Blair Motion Pictures
became
was
NFL
owned by
Films?
Ed Sable.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Wow.
Renamed NFL Films.
What a story.
On this date in 1964, they acquired that. Born on this date in 1946, happy 75th to Rocky Blyer.
Oh.
After a rookie year with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Blyer was drafted into the Army on December 4th, 1968, 3 days before I was born. Thank you very much. During the war, he then volunteered for duty in South Vietnam, was shipped out in May of 1969, assigned to Company C of the 4th Battalion, 31st Infantry, 196th Light Infantry Brigade, and assigned as a squad grenadier operating an M79 grenade launcher. Okay, and on August 20th of that year, he was on patrol, was wounded by an enemy rifle bullet in the thigh while his platoon was ambushed in a rice paddy. He went down, and while he was down, an enemy grenade landed nearby that had bounced off a fellow soldier and rolled in his direction, sending shrapnel into his lower right leg. He lost part of his right foot in the blast, was awarded the Bronze Star and the Purple Heart. And while he was recovering in a hospital in Tokyo, doctors told him he'd never play football again.
Nope.
He got a postcard from Art Rooney, Steelers owner, which simply read, "Rock, the team's not doing well. We need you, Art Rooney." And Rocky Blyer said that really moved him. He goes, he couldn't believe he took the time to do that. Several surgeries later, he was discharged from the military in June of 1970 and began informal workouts with the Steelers, would return to the league then after two complete seasons out of football. Back in 1971, he went on to win four Super Bowl championships with the Steelers.
Great interview, that guy. I know
he's a fan.
So awesome.
Many, he's one of the – he might be one of the Mount Rushmore of radio
weeks
of all
time.
Right? Rocky Blyer knows all the stories, always – what an outlook on life he has. I think you probably would, too, if your leg was all blown up in a rice paddy and you're like.
I remember him talking about getting the postcard from Rudy.
Yes.
Live on the radio. Just like, oh, my gosh.
Great dude. Great story. Yes. Wish him many more years of good health. Michael Irvin, born of this date in 1966. He was the 11th overall pick in the 1988 NFL draft by Dallas. Played his entire career with the Cowboys. Made 5 Pro Bowls. Member of the old 1990s team, 3-time Super Bowl champ, and a Hall of Fame inductee in 2007. And happy birthday to the Jaguars' own Trey Herndon, 25 years young today. An undrafted rookie free agent 3 years ago with the Jags, has played in 43 games, including 26 starts, and has had 3 interceptions, working a lot as the nickel corner last season. So Trey Herndon, welcome back, and happy birthday to you. That's what we have for you on this date in football history.
Now, gems around the NFL, brought to you by Beach's Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
The Washington football team has released quarterback Alex Smith, making him a free agent. The Pittsburgh Steelers have agreed to a restructured 1-year deal with quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. The deal will reduce his salary this year from $19 million down to $14 million and will save the Steelers over $15 million against their cap this season. The Philadelphia Eagles and cornerback Darius Slay have agreed to a restructure contract that will save the Eagles just over $9 million in cap space. Denver Broncos general manager George Patton said yesterday that the team wants linebacker Von Miller back for the 2021 season, but they are waiting to see how an ongoing investigation by Parker County, Colorado police will play out, and did not rule out a future discussion about him taking a pay cut to return to the team after not being able to play at all last season due to injury. The team has an option that they would have to pick up by the first day of the league year on March 17th, which would guarantee $7 million of Miller's $17.5 million base salary for the 2021 season. A source has told Adam Schefter that the Detroit Lions will be releasing cornerback Desmond Trufant. At the start of the league year, Trufant signed a two-year, $20 million deal with the Lions last offseason. The Lions will save $3 million on their cap with this release. That number could go up to $6.5 million if he is designated a post-June 1st release. The New Orleans Saints have released punter Thomas Morstead after 12 seasons with the team. Morstead was the man who executed the surprise onside kick in the Super Bowl 44 win over the Colts coming out of the halftime locker room. Seattle has released wide receiver Josh Gordon. Gordon was suspended indefinitely again by the NFL in January and is expected to join Johnny Manziel in the fan-controlled football league. The NFL owners have a virtual meeting planned for later this month, and several rule change proposals that could be discussed at that meeting have been made public. We mentioned the proposal by the Bills yesterday that would push back interviews for coaching and front office positions until after the conference title games and wouldn't allow hires to be made until after the Super Bowl. Philadelphia plans to resubmit their proposal to allow teams the option to run a 4th and 15 play to replace the onside kick. 3 out of 67 onside kicks were recovered by the kicking team in the 2020 season. Baltimore is proposing a major change to overtime that would allow the team that wins the coin toss to choose where the ball is spotted to begin the overtime period, and the other team would choose whether to start on offense or defense. The proposal includes two different timings for the overtime period. One would be a sudden death 10-minute period or a 7.5-minute period with no sudden death, where instead the team leading at the end of those 7.5 minutes would be the winner. And Ben Fisher of the Sports Business Journal said yesterday that the NFL is currently targeting the second week of May to release the regular season schedule. The NFL schedule has typically been released the week before the NFL draft, but last year was released on May 7th. And it sounds like it will likely be even later this year.
All right, let's take a break here and come back. Let's talk about that Baltimore proposal, which I think is interesting. It's too interesting to pass because it's too different. But it's pretty fascinating on how they would handle overtime. Plus, a couple of stories at NFL.com from the last 24 hours. One where they position one pending free agent with every team in the AFC. And another one looking back on the 2016 draft and repicking the first round. It'll be interesting to see where some of those Jaguars ended up in that one. So we'll look at all that coming your way next. It is Jaguars Today that you're listening to here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Man, we are in the entertainment business. We have to drive interest and clicks. That is clickbait, because there's no reasonable evaluator that can look at both guys and say that Zach Wilson is a better prospect than Trevor Lawrence.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Preach! Lucky Brooks yesterday from NFL.com here on Jaguars Today believes it's clickbait if you suggest anything but Trevor Lawrence. Put some respect on his name.
Put some respect on that man's name.
Come on, E.T.
Trevor Duval County, Lawrence.
Yes, what he said.
Jacksonville, Jesus. Come on, somebody.
That's a little maybe a step too far for me.
I'm calling it.
Well, you go with that one. I'm going to go with the franchise quarterback. that's about as far as I'm
going. I mean, look, I'm not a huge fan of Chris Sims, but I know he's made some calls in the past.
Yeah, rank. Look, he's entitled to his opinion.
Yeah.
Bucky Brooks' opinion.
Maybe you don't go wrong with any of them.
You know, look, here's the thing. Bucky Brooks' opinion, you're crazy to have anyone ahead of Trevor. Jagger fans are like, yeah. All right, Bucky Brooks also said, I don't really see much difference between Orlando Brown Jr. and Cam Robinson.
Yeah.
Jagger fans are like, boo.
You know, so, I don't know what you're talking about. Who's this guy?
You're going to react how your preconceived notions line up.
But he did have some. What was it? He had Lamar Jackson number one the year he came out.
He did.
And then he had Mahomes.
And Lamar Jackson, he had Mahomes, Watson at the top. He had Lamar Jackson followed by Josh Allen, followed by Baker Mayfield, which is pretty close to how you could argue last year, did Josh Allen move ahead of Lamar? But Lamar's got an MVP.
Yeah.
Those are the top two right now. Baker's the third. The other guys are kind of afterthoughts, including Darnold and Rosen. So
Well, he compared him to Mahomes and Rodgers, right? Had similarities. I think that's what he said that he reminded him of.
Yeah.
Well, if he's right, then someone's going to get a fantastic quarterback, I guess.
All right, got a lot to get through here. Baltimore's proposal for overtime will never happen because it's too forward-thinking.
No,
And the NFL takes things at a glacial pace, but what a great idea.
I love it.
Yeah,
this is
cool.
The most phenomenal overtime idea. Tony, you're the Jags. I represent the loser.
Okay,
the eventual loser, whoever that is. It doesn't matter. And you win the toss.
I win the toss.
Overtime.
Are we in the 7.5 one, or are we in the sudden death one?
Sudden death, 10-minute overtime. Okay, because it's sudden death no longer. No longer does every team have to get the ball one time in this scenario, because what you're doing, you're going to propose the yard line that the ball starts on. Then I'm going to decide, do I want the ball on that yard line, or do I want to play defense with you starting with the ball on
that
yard
line? So that you don't just say, from my own 1 yard line, you know, so that they go, well, I got to take the ball from the one. No, they can go, all right, play defense.
Right, we'll play defense,
yeah,
you're
you
back up.
Yeah.
Like, and Tom and I were just talking about this on the break. I think it changes depending on your opponent.
Yeah.
Like, if you're the Chiefs, I'll start at the 10.
Yeah.
Right?
Give me the ball.
What is the sweet spot for?
Yeah, I want, like, and that'll be the, you know, all the metrics people go, you get the ball here, here, or here. These are your chances in the NFL of scoring.
And knowing you only need a field goal.
Right.
Right.
Like, it's, so from your own 25, how much do the odds change if you give it at the 30?
You'd never give it. You'd never give it. I don't think you'd ever give it at the 20. I think any team would take the ball at the 20-yard line to start overtime. I think it'd have to be – every team would pick who got the choice would pick it shorter than the 20.
It's like a touchback anyway, right? You start at the 20.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think every team would take the ball at the 20.
Yep.
I bet most teams would take it at the 15. I think you start getting inside the 15
it's
is when it gets
death,
interesting.
Yeah, maybe.
All you need is a field goal.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? The 7.5-minute one, I mean – what are the odds you're going to have more than two possessions in a 7.5-minute period?
Which is,
anyway?
I kind of like the 7.5-minute one because it would almost push the team that's picking it instead of saying the 15 to put it in somewhere where we got to go score.
Right.
Right? Like, it's more like we got to get an opportunity for us to get the ball at some point in this overtime and score.
But everyone gets they both sides get a chance in the 7.5.
No.
No,
in
not
the
7.5
they do.
Oh, they do.
7.5 you just play the 7.5.
Well, right. That's a different than pick.
We're
that's just play overtime, right?
Well, it would be the team that wins the toss chooses where you start possession, the other team chooses to start an offense.
And then you play it out for 7.5 minutes.
And you play football for 7.5 minutes from that spot.
But and then whoever wins after
whoever wins wins.
Okay,
if it's tied, it's tied.
I would always want the ball first if it's reasonable. You know, like I'm not taking it at the one. But if I'm Kansas, if the other team says 2 yard line, you're Kansas City, you're taking the ball, you might.
Maybe.
Well, it depends how your defense is playing.
Yeah, it depends
on
a lot of things.
If your defense is starting to really
come on, maybe take a shot. Would be like the must tune in moment of the game
totally.
To decide what yard line are they going to pick.
Yeah.
And then what? And you're like, the 10. Do I want the Jags with the ball at the 10? Or, Of course, it's silly. The Jags will win every game blowout fashion in regulation. Won't need overtime.
Yeah, so that's why this is
a dumb conversation.
Yeah, there's no chance they'll put it in.
They won't.
Fourth and 15 rule made too much sense. I mean, they're converting 3 out of 1,000 onside kicks, and they're like, no, we don't need to change this. What are you talking about?
I think that was the number 3, not out of 1,000.
It was 3 out of 67.
3 out of 60, right?
They just gave the next future XFL league a way to handle overtime.
I mean, it's a great idea.
I love it.
The fourth and 15 is a great idea, too, and I think that will eventually pass.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be this year. They've had a year
to talk about it. Instead of kicking an onside kick, you can choose to attempt a fourth and 15, I think, from your own 25.
25-yard line, yeah.
And if you convert it, you keep the ball.
25.
And if you don't, they get the ball wherever you didn't convert from.
The knock, the people who are against it are like, this is going to put incredible pressure on the referees because little ticky-tack holding, automatic first down.
Right.
And now you've successful. So are the refs going to swallow the whistles? Is it going to be treated like a Hail Mary play?
Right. Are we getting 2020 full season call on the holding, or are we getting NFC championship calls on the holding?
Right.
For the Tampa Bay.
And that's
how about no
penalties
allowed on that one?
Oh, no.
I don't think they'll go that way.
That would be incredible.
All right. Let's just to get through this stuff here. NFL.com did a piece on NFC teams, which I didn't bother to look at the other day. Because the Jags don't play in the NFC. But yesterday they did NFL free agency matchmaking, one fit for every AFC team out there. I'll go through all the teams in the conferences quickly. Ravens signing Marvin Jones. Bills signing Joe Tooney. Carl Lawson re-signing with the Bengals. Mm. Trey Hendrickson to the Browns. Justin Simmons staying with the Broncos. Tyrod Taylor going to Houston. How sad is that franchise when this is like your big free agent matchmaking article target?
Oh, this is beautiful.
It's great for
fantastic.
Jags.
Yeah. Fantastic. Allen Robinson to the Colts. Boo. We'll skip the Jags here. Austin Reiter, center to the Chiefs here. Richard Sherman to the Raiders. Corey Linsley goes to the Chargers from the Packers. They need a center. Aaron Jones to the Dolphins. There's been some talk of that. Ryan Fitzpatrick to the Patriots. Juju to the Jets. Chris Carson to the Steelers. Curtis Samuel to the Titans. So the Jaguars in this one grabbing Hunter Henry as the one. So this is one where they're not doubling up. Obviously, you know, they might be the same guy for multiple teams. But in a world where the Saints sit roughly $69 million over the cap, the Jags have 82 million dead presidents to toss around. The table set for a quick turnaround or Trevor Lawrence is drafted with the number one overall pick and shines while on a rookie contract. Backfield revelation James Robinson costs merely $781,000 to you next season, while wideouts DJ Chark and LaVisca Chenault remain bargains. With Tyler Eifert out the door, Josh Oliver stuck in neutral due to injuries, Jacksonville has a need and requisite greenbacks to lure pass-catching tight end Hunter Henry away. Mm. From Los Angeles. Wow. He has said he wants to play with a really good quarterback. That's one of his top priorities. I think Trevor probably fits that bill.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Allen Robinson talked about.
Yeah, he did. I saw that. Yeah.
That'd be a reasonable landing spot. Yep. So the other one was they redrafted. They like to do this 5 years later.
Yeah.
Redraft the first round.
Okay.
Every team with their original pick, they take the trades out. Okay. Keep in mind, Philadelphia traded up to get Carson Wentz in this deal.
Okay.
They traded with Cleveland. In this scenario, Cleveland keeps the number two pick. So I'll run through them. Rams take Dak Prescott, number one. Okay. Joey Bosa goes to the Browns. Mm-hmm. The Chargers take Michael Thomas. The Cowboys take Ezekiel Elliott again. Jags on the clock. And they take Jalen Ramsey again. Okay.
Yeah.
Says the Jags originally selected him in this spot. I'd have them do it again. Obviously, things did not end well between the two parties. Maybe in this alternate reality, Miles Jack is not ruled down. On this alternate reality, he wouldn't be playing for the Jags. Maybe the Jaguars go on to the Super Bowl and beat the Eagles. Maybe I become an AEW announcer. There are a lot of different ways this could have gone. But that 2017 Jaguars team was special, and I wouldn't change that. Plus, if the worst thing you get is a ton of picks from the Rams on the back end, you'd do it. The Ravens take Tyreek Hill. The Niners take Ronnie Stanley, who originally went to the Ravens there. He has the Eagles taking Wentz, and he says, I'm going to get killed for this, but I don't believe they make it to the Super Bowl without Wentz. Then Nick Foles comes in and carries them to the championship. So he is suggesting here at least you don't have to give up what it took to move up.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, moving off of that, DeForest Buckner goes to the Bears. They took Leonard Floyd.
Yeah, he's good.
The Giants take James Bradbury, who they originally took Eli Apple. The Bucks take Xavier Howard. They took Vernon Hargraves the first time. Chris Jones goes to the Saints. Dolphins take Laramie Tunsil, who they took at 13. Kevin Byard goes to the Raiders. Derrick Henry goes to the Titans. He was not the pick at that spot.
Nope.
They took Corey Coleman. Or actually, Corey Coleman was the pick to the Browns at that spot.
Okay.
The Lions took Jack Conklin here. The Falcons take Keanu Neal, who they did take in the original. Ryan Kelly goes to the Colts. That's the same. Unique Ngakoue jumps into the first round.
Oh, yeah.
Round three. He goes 19th to Buffalo.
Yeah.
The Bills went with Shaq Lawson. He was fine. Not spectacular, but fine. However, I'd go with Ngakoue, who was brilliant with the Jags, especially in 2017. It ended poorly. troubling common thread with Ramsey there, and Ngakoue would be huge for this current Bills team.
It ended poorly. That's been our slogan for the past
year. Yeah, right? Jets take Jalen Smith. They took Darren Lee originally. Oof. Will Fuller goes to Washington. That was where he was picked, but, of course, by Houston. Mm-hmm. Houston then takes Taylor Decker, who had gone earlier to Detroit in the original draft. Minnesota takes Joe Tooney. Cincinnati takes Kenny Clark. Steelers take Justin Simmons. Seahawks take Cody Whitehair. Packers take Sheldon Rankins. They originally took Kenny Clark. Chiefs take Matt Judon. Cardinals take Miles Jack out of Arizona. Mm-hmm. So Arizona took a big swing with Robert Kendiche, and it didn't work out. I really do believe a player like Jack would have been perfect for the Cardinals, who've enjoyed great success with similar types of versatile talents. I was shocked Jack went in the second round. That can't happen again. Well, I'm picking him 29th here.
Yeah.
You know, you're
way to go out on
cramming
him
up in the top 10.
Sure, but like you go through that list, and it's like the Jaguars had three players that you think –
top 29
are first round players that year. Yeah. Like if you go back and look at it,
I think we felt that for a while,
and they've held on to one of them.
Well, and Hunter Henry went 30th, so we can sign him and make
there
up
you
for
go.
Things.
There you go.
Jared Goff goes 31st to Denver, and and that's
flip
it. Would that be did New England have their first rounder taken away that year?
Yes, so yeah, somebody.
Yeah, they're
did.
Only 31 picks, so. Yep. They're the ones who usually get their pick taken away because they cheat a lot. So, yeah, three first-rounders. That was, it's the best first three picks. On the strength of all of them that the Jags have made. I mean, they probably had equal or better first two picks before, back in the early days. They had a few knock-them-out-of-the-park years.
Yep.
But
maybe this year they
– maybe they do.
This is it. This
three
is
in the first
year.
33, right? Maybe it's the best three. I mean, look, couldn't have dialed up a better guy to spend the first one on.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Trevor Cast, available at 1010XL.com for your listening pleasure right now. And all of our interviews from all week long and all of our shows you can check out at 1010XL.com. Tom, we will come back on the other side and take a look at some of the responses on Andrew Norwell today. What would it take for you to trade him away? What kind of return would you be looking for? And if not, would you consider it a wise move for the Jags to consider releasing him to save $9 million in cap space? We will discuss on the other side here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Don't get two or three teams who want to move up there and target the 33rd pick, the guy that they had higher on their board. Once they get a reshuffle and the draft's all over. So it wouldn't shock me if Jacksonville's able to get a nice little draft hole or, you know, to move back in the second round and have someone else move up for that 33rd pick.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Lance Zierlein, NFL.com, joined us last week and talked about that. Yeah, I mean, we talked about that, Tom. You sit there in a catbird seat at the start of day two.
Yeah, it just better be a real good deal because, you know, I don't know how far back you're going to go.
Well, here's the question. I mean, we've seen those deals, though. If that team wants that one player, right, and you're there. Let's say you got five guys, and you're like, man, I mean, can't take them all. We guarantee ourselves getting one if we move back four spots, and that team's willing to give you a third-round pick, and you're like, I'd be happy with any of these five guys. You're guaranteed to get one.
Right. It's in that's what I'm saying. But if it's, now you're going
possible.
Down 12 spots.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, do you do it? It really depends if you can get your guy.
But that's the thing. You sit there and you get
the
palm of your hand. You know, that one guy, like Tony's saying, maybe you're the team that says, damn, we got a top 20 player on our board and he's still available. And we're not going to trade this for anything.
I mean, wouldn't it be awesome to get first 25 and 33 all really good picks
absolutely.
That are long-term starters for us?
No question about it.
You know, the only thing about that.
Just like the leverage it gives.
Oh, yeah, you're there.
The position.
There. You're right.
It gets you.
I mean, look at, not to go back in time, but when Coughlin grabbed Rob Johnson, he was the first player or the last player on the board at the top of the fourth round, right?
Fourth round, right.
And he's like, we got to take him.
Yeah, and I think that was after – I think – back then, did they do the first three rounds one day and split up like that?
Yeah, it was split. There was a split.
Was it three and then?
It was 2 days.
Right. But I think it was 1, 2, and 3 all and then four
through eight or seven or whatever. Yep.
Now this is even better, though.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, now you know where you're going with Trevor Lawrence.
Yep.
We'll see what happens with the 25th pick. You've got ammunition if you want to move.
What my point was that he was there, so somebody could be there at the top of the yes. second round that somebody's got to have.
Correct.
Because he's the number one on their board, and they need him. And
right. At the start of the fourth round.
Correct.
When it's true for every round practically except yep. the sixth, but just to start the day where teams have time to call you, reset their board, they yep. thought about it all night, they're like, oh, okay, we really want this guy.
Yeah.
What can you get for him?
Yep.
It's a great position to be
no
in.
No doubt.
So,
no doubt.
By the way, one bone to pick with Ice Cube there. Mama was cooking breakfast with no hog, and I don't get down with that. Like, what's wrong with bacon?
I love bacon.
Sausage, bacon. Bacon was BOGO at Publix. I don't know, even know what brand it was, but I got me two packs of thick-cut bacon.
I love bacon.
And I'm going to ask my sweet wife to make me some more candied bacon.
Candied bacon.
Oh, hey. Bro.
Hey.
Really?
Man, we might have to introduce him to that candy bacon.
Seriously. Yeah. All it is, just coat it in brown sugar, pop it in the oven at like 375 for 20 minutes.
Bro.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. It was just slicking
I love
at
bacon.
Me. It was just teasing me.
It's one of the greatest things I've ever eaten.
Once you taste it, you just can't stop.
You just can't stop.
Yeah.
So I'll eat two packs worth. Nice. My wife is nice enough. Or I guess I could not be lazy and do it myself.
Do it yourself. Yeah. I cook bacon every Sunday morning.
Do you?
Yeah. Love it. Yeah,
I eat a lot of Caesar salads with bacon, and I got
okay.
I like this one brand. I just get this packs of microwave bacon.
Yep.
I'm sure some people are, oh, that's terrible. That's fine for me.
Yeah, whatever.
It's you slap four.
Remember Steak-ems back in the day? Oh. Those were the best out of the box.
I used to get those.
Oh my gosh, put on the skillet.
The little
butter.
Turkey and gravy packs that you'd throw in a pot of boiling water, and they'd be in like a bag.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I used to eat those all the time.
Oh man.
College. Match.
Yeah.
What's the best cold sandwich in your opinion?
Cold sandwich.
Yeah, what food would you
leftover.
Actually, yeah,
yeah.
like
yeah.
a leftover, cold,
leftover
sandwich.
Cold sandwich?
That might even be better than the warm version.
I'm going to go with I'm going to go with, what am I thinking of? The
roast.
What's that?
Pork roast?
No, not pork. Beef. You know the roast. You know, like a roast. You know, I'm talking like a butt like, roast.
Yeah.
And the next day, it's just unbelievable. Right off. Yeah.
Tommy's anyway, going right it. For the butt.
All right.
The next day, though.
I like a good piece of ass. Come on.
There you go. On your sandwich.
On my sandwich for sure.
All right.
Smack it up, flip it up, and rub it down. Oh no, what? But yeah, I would think. Yeah. What were you guys going to do? Turkey? I mean, turkey's like the obvious like after Thanksgiving,
meatloaf,
right?
Meatloaf, man. Meatloaf's the jam.
Meatloaf, yeah, I don't eat a whole lot of meatloaf. I don't know why I should. I like meat. And
there you go. You like loaf? You like bread?
Oh, my goodness.
Whatever.
Put it all together.
Yeah. Meatloaf, is that what you're saying too?
I like meatloaf. That'd be my
favorite.
Okay,
Tone, what are you?
Me, it's probably turkey.
Turkey, yeah. Day after Thanksgiving or what, that night?
I think meatloaf's better cold. I think it's better the next day.
Okay.
That's me.
Fair enough. I was going to say that with bacon, peanut butter toast and bacon. Oh, the best.
I heard a podcast the other day. People were talking about weird food combinations, and they're like, remember that time we got somebody to try peanut butter and bologna? And I'm like, I used to have that sandwich for about 2 years running. That's
peanut
what I brought to school.
Peanut butter and bologna.
It's really good.
Never even thought of
that. It's one of those deals. I was a kid, and
I would have been so
pig,
miserable.
Right? Pig, bacon,
like
pig.
It's two things
pig,
that I just don't
pig.
Like.
Oh, it was so
bologna?
Good. And
or peanut butter. I don't like either one.
And you could put
one.
Pickles
you don't
on
like
there.
Peanut butter?
No.
Oh, my gosh. I love
peanut. Peanut butter, bologna, and pickles if you want
to. What's the stuff
the
that the Australians eat? Spinner
Vegemite.
Tried to tell. Yeah, he tried to tell me that's better than peanut butter. I'm like, you're out of your mind. Out of your mind.
That's because Aussies want you to feel their pain, you know.
Right.
They grew
Vegemite
up hearing
over
that
peanuts.
Their whole life. Like, oh, we got this Vegemite, mate.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Yeah,
right? And they're like,
tastes like tar.
Eating a jar of sand.
Yeah, it did.
That's
yeah,
not,
it's like
good.
This is disgusting.
I tried.
Serious?
I didn't like it.
No.
All right. Question of the day: if the Jags decided to trade guard Andrew Norwell, what do you think would be a fair return, barring a trade? What do you think it would be worth to release Norwell to save $9 million? Or do you think it would be worth it to release him to save $9 million in cap space? Let's do the 10-10 take on this, E.
10-10. This 10-10 take is brought to you by Peninsular Pest Control at CritterGetter.com.
Look, I don't want to just outright release Andrew Norwell right now. But it's a move in the back of the Jaguars' minds that, you know, it's do we want to settle? for good or good enough, and Andrew Norwell has been good enough. Like last year, I thought he was fine. I in terms of being a member of a competent offensive line, I'm cool with that, right? But what if I could get Brandon Scherff from Washington? Four-time Pro Bowler, roundly considered one of the best guards in the league. He's had a few injury concerns in the last few years, but let's say you get him and you could replace the money that you were paying Norwell, even if it ends up costing you more in cap space, if the cash were about the same. If you could get Scherff for a three-year deal for $15 million per, you're going to pay Andrew Norwell $15 million this year.
Yeah, right. Right.
And maybe I go kick the tires and see. Like, I'm not going to do this without having a plan in place already. There's no need to, because you don't need the immediate cap space.
Right.
You've got $82 million under the cap. But I do, in the back of my mind, say, you know what? If I could go upgrade,
yep,
I might make this move, but only after I've already answered that position. Or if I feel like I can get a guy on the market, let's say for $6 or $7 million, who's as good. Maybe it's not Scherff.
Yeah, right.
And you just feel like he's as good as Norwell. Why pay him $15 million in that case?
Totally agree. I mean, look, I think at the end of the day, you look at the offensive line as a whole. They're okay. They're not terrible. They're okay, right? I mean, you know, some players better than others, but if you're going to let guys walk from that starting O-line, you better upgrade them. It can't be a parallel move. I guess for money, you could sit there and be like, well, it's the same money. You know, they save money. Okay, but I don't really – it's not my money, so I don't really care about the money. I just want the players to be better than what they have today.
Look, in the end, Tony, George Warhop's going to be huge in this again.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure he is and was and has been and will be in the Cam Robinson decision at whatever stage they are on that. And if Warhop says, oh, no, this guy, you know, really starting to come on, and I think he's like the anchor.
Played even better than people talked about him playing in 2020. We don't know what the evaluation was inside the building, though. The hints that they may be trading him may give you an idea of how they actually feel about him inside the building. But look, they're not going to get in a trade whatever you would need, I don't think. Like that third round value, not going to happen. Not with the contract that he has. So I kind of just throw that away. Like that's not going to happen. And look, because it's cut him, well, you can cut him whenever the heck you want. Like there's not a deadline on this. So if you can go out and find a guard that you feel like is an upgrade, fine. Sign him. Cut Norwell or keep Norwell and play him where Cam would be playing. Like either one of those, fine. I'm okay with upgrading guard, but there's no timeline on trying to make that happen with Andrew.
Right, and I'm okay with lateral move at guard if you say, all right, we got a guy for $5 million as opposed to $15 million who's going to be just as good if you really feel that way about him. I mean, that's on the team to make the proper evaluation
on that guy. Right, right. I'm just taking that out. If you get rid of Norwell and or Cam, you just make sure they're better. That's the way I would look at it.
Yeah, well, as long as they're as good, you know, for less money, I'm okay with that as well. But most people saying they wouldn't deal them for less than a third. Like you said, they're apparently not getting any interest, according to the rumors out there. And if they're not getting any interest at any level, they're certainly not going to get a third rounder for him. And most said absolutely do not release Andrew Norwell. We're not saying just create a hole.
Right.
But
sign a guard.
Go make a run at a good guard, and you can whack him and save $9 million in cap space, and that's always a move in your back pocket.
Hey, nothing wrong with having one of the better guards in the league for your offensive line.
Sure,
that always helps.
Let's welcome in XL Primetime.
Now the 2-minute drill on 1010 XL.
All right, Hacker's here. Hello, Hacker.
Mike, how you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Wonderful, Tommy. Good to see you, Tony. Look, a lot of news today, and boy. The next 10, 12 days are going to be awesome, aren't they? Not only is the players next week, certainly, but once you get into Monday the 15th, the news and the rumors about who's negotiating with who, who's agreed to terms with who, and then pen can meet paper on St. Patrick's Day, it's going to be outstanding, particularly when you cover a team that has $82 million of cap room.
Yeah, figure they'll make some early splashes.
I think St. Patty's Day is going to be kick-ass regardless of what goes on. And just my two cents, at least in my world, it'll be a very fun day.
All right, then. And then the NCAA tournament this year starts on – well, I think it technically starts on Thursday with, like, the play-in games.
We have a regional.
I think it's, like, Tuesday and Wednesday that week.
No. Oh, is it Tuesday and Wednesday?
The first round's weird. The first round's like on Friday, Saturday.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So Wednesday, Thursday, maybe?
I think something like I thought I heard it started on the 18th.
I don't know why they're doing Friday, Saturday, and the second round Monday, Tuesday.
I don't know if it really matters, though. I mean, you're going to have two two on weekday. You know, you probably
got to test everybody.
You'll end up with more games being played on the weekend, right? I mean, like, you think about how many people really can take off work. I know everyone jokes about, oh, it's a national holiday. Well, how many people are taking off work to watch all day Thursday and Friday?
That's fair.
Right? Yeah. Where you could watch the same amount would watch on Friday as they will, and then maybe more people will watch more games on Saturday. I don't know. You know, either way, I'll watch it all.
I'm excited it's back. I certainly missed it last year.
All right, Hack, have a good show today.
Yeah, by the way, Alex Marvez, SiriusXM in the 2 o'clock hour, and Mike Jannetty, the founder of SpotTrack, who I really like, going to that website, talking about salary cap room, who has the most room. He's going to join us right around 2:15.
There you go. Nice. All right.
Can't wait.
XL Primetime coming up for the next 3 hours. Tommy Mack, have a good weekend.
Hey, you too.
All right. Going to watch WandaVision tonight.
Are you?
Yep, going to stay off social media until I watch it.
Okay.
Yes. The big finale. Then
I won't have to worry about liking any of your posts.
No, I watched Coming to America 2. Last night, it came out a day early on Amazon Prime.
As a sequel, where do you rank? Good.
It's not great, right? Yeah. But there's a lot of inside jokes, references to the first one.
Right.
There's some great – the first third of the movie I thought was pretty good. There are a lot of really good cameos in this one particular scene.
Okay.
And so my wife and I enjoyed it, like, especially because I heard it was such utter trash.
Right.
That, you know, like, if you like Eddie Murphy, if you like Coming to America.
Yeah. That was a great movie back in the day.
It was a good movie. I enjoyed Coming to America. This one has a lot of references to that one, obviously.
Yeah.
And they even talk at one point about how they hate movies that do unnecessary sequels. Like, there's a whole scene about that in the movie. It's pretty funny. All right, that'll do it for us. Tony, have a good weekend.
Thank you.
E.T., have a good weekend.
Yeah.
See you Monday. We'll talk to you then from 10 to noon with more Jaguars today here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Go Jacksonville.